But had I been in that position, I really don't think, Mr. Ellis, that I would put myself in the position where I could possibly find myself in a conflict of interest. Because at the end of the day, it's all about...
Who you?
Mr. Ellis, don't let me get...
Talk cheap. It is all well and good until the day comes and I hear... You see, you have the tongue of a politician. All politicians are the same. You see that situation in the United States right now where the Republicans, when Obama was in office and the post was to be filled in the Supreme Court, they say, no, don't fill that post now. You have to have the elections first. Okay? Now, the same people have changed their tune. And you know what? Did they tell you when it finished? You know it well. That is politics. That is what they tell you.
No, I...
And you ain't no different. So don't come telling me if you were in the position, nothing. I don't buy it.
Oh, Mr. Ellis, you can't speak for me. I could only speak for
myself. I don't buy it.
The only person that could speak for me is myself. And I'm telling you emphatically, Mr. Ellis, that for a party that came to office on the grounds of being... accountable and transparent and honest and all of these trustworthy and all of these phrases, it is really befuddling my mind that they would then turn around and do something like this that is so blatant.
Mr. Ellis, something like what? I don't understand what you're charging them with.
Mr. Ellis, 1 minute being an independent senator and then the next minute you're running on a party slate.
I mean, they did what? It is the individual who has made that choice.
It is disrespectful to the people of the country.
How? This is something that Barbadians have seen time and time again. If you listen to the comments which the Prime Minister made last night, she went through chapter and verse of people who were associated with the trade union movement who got involved in politics. This is the political... The nexus between the trade union movement and these two political parties in Barbados has been well established, and you are now coming to talk as though this is something new.
Mr. Ellis, with all due respect, I feel like we're going in circles, you know, because
I already established,
Mr. Ellis, the point that just because somebody does something don't mean you have to go and repeat.
You have to deal with the precedent that has been established. And if you don't want to deal with the precedent, then you have to look at it from the point of view of case by case, how is this person going to respond? Okay.
Mr. Ellis, there are many people who ran behind Mr. Glenn Clark on the last polls, like Faye Burke, for instance, supported Mr. Clark on the campaign trail relentlessly. And for you to then turn around and give the candidacy to somebody that in just 7 days...
All right, well, you're going to fight a different battle, man. You should be up in the constituency then. Go and join the Labour Party and fight that battle. Especially, go and see George North and see if you could go inside the councils of the BLP and fight that particular battle. That's a different issue altogether that you're raising here. And we don't have enough time to add that to the list. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You're on the air. Somebody says that politicians speak from both sides of their mouth. I mean, that's the nature of politics, you know. When you are in opposition, you say one thing. When you become the government, you can easily find an alternative position to the one that you had taken previously. And it is part and parcel of why... Overall, there are a lot of people who just don't trust what politicians have to say. But there are what some may consider to be a necessary evil in society. And those who enter the fray of politics have to be prepared for that kind of perception. I mean, some people can go through the whole process and emerge with a great degree of respect and that sort of thing. But a lot of the people who take it on will find that to a large extent there is that erosion of trust and confidence in word, especially where you've seen them actually take the kind of position that we see for example, in the United States, where the Republicans and the postures that they have taken on various issues one time and then how they go another. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Now, I don't really know what's going on. Have you really studied what's going on? You wonder, something's really wrong lately. I don't know what it is. I was around politically, and I don't understand it. Okay? Let me tell you where I'm going. What's the first thing that was done besides prayers in the House Assembly after the government changed? What's the very remember. First thing that was done?
I can't remember.
Okay, let me help you, right? The Governor General of this country, after the Prime Minister named her ministers and her 12 senators, two of the 12 senators, the Governor General refused because of the time frame and things like that, how long they was in Barbados, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Prime Minister date?
The legislation was changed.
Okay, I get into my point. The Prime Minister of Barbados rushed to Parliament later evening and changed the constitution of this country that those two persons, Ms. McConney, the leader of the Barbados Labour Party right now, and Mr. Adams. You remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this morning, listening to your station, I heard the Prime Minister's voice from Flat, wherever it is. And I receive information again, being a party person, a member, whereby all of us have received a book. You say you never was a party person, so you never received one yet. And in that book, it has rules. Rules is in that book that all members should follow. And if I heard right this morning, I heard her giving me the impression that she went round the rule to get Miss Moore fast track. But I didn't believe it. So I said, I can call Mr. Ellis, who I know can play a defender and try to go all wrong, and don't come directly to the point. But I don't risk it.
Mm-hmm.
But I take up my phone, I call it, and a gentleman, as soon as I call him, and I was holding on, the gentleman raised the same issue with you.
And what he said?
Yeah, let me get to the point. Our present Prime Minister, and I know you know my voice well, I told you, I told Maureen Holder, and I told Peter Ricken that I was scared of her before she became Prime Minister. I was scared of her from the opposition. Anybody that you see always playing around laws and changing them for whatever they want is a frightening thing. Now, here we had the Governor General rejecting two people out of 280,000. And the very first thing she did was to go to Parliament and change the constitution of Barbados that those two people could enter Parliament. Now we have a lady who, for six straight years, been a member of the armless corps. Everything the DAP do was wrong. And we have to change the rules out of her party, go around the rules, to get this lady in the House Assembly. Now, you can understand that in this day, 2 years and 4 months as a government, I've got to fast track things. Now, tell me what is the haste to go the right road, do the right things, to bring Miss Moore in the legal way. Now, what I would like to know, I don't know what happened directly with the two senators, because the news media of today don't extend nothing. Once they involve this government, they don't work on it. It's dead. Boom. I would like to know now if that, I think it's Rule 87 in the Barbados Labour Party notebook. I wonder if that rule is no longer anything to do with that book. Anytime you have a leader that believe they could do anything and get rid of it, we're going on a world of disaster. And you know the frightening thing about it, Miss Ellis? The force estate is sitting there and it's saying a word about the things that are going on in this country.
Well, and, I don't know about the things that are going on in this country.
Well,
this, but
let me finish what
you
want to say.
Listen, I'm telling you. Listen, no. Don't come wrong with me today, Alvin.
Be what?
Please, please.
My time is up.
Please, you try to come here and you do the wrong thing. You just know how to put me in a position where you can say, well, we got to go say goodbye. Because I think that you need to pay due respect to the fact that I'm the person who's here as the moderator. Okay? And if you come and make statements that in my judgment are, you know, erroneous or inaccurate or whatever, I think, you know, I need to be given the opportunity to respond to you. Look, you said that this matter came up on this program today.
Which one?
This whole issue that you've just raised here with...
Yeah, I heard you on the gentleman's
right.
Topic.
And what did I say?
I want to know what you say.
Okay.
I want to know what
all
you
right then.
Do.
All right then. Well, proceed.
I want to know what you're going to do.
What I'm going to do?
Yeah.
What like do what I do? I do this. I do what I'm doing here, which is to look at the issues, to look at the arguments for and against. Last Friday, I drew attention to the concerns which were raised by, I believe it was one of the fellows from the UPP. I think it was, can't remember his name now, and one other person who reacting to the announcement that Tony Moore was going to be the candidate, asked how she was selected if they went through the accepted process to have her chosen as the candidate. I've come here today and I've shared with you what the Prime Minister said. That some rule had to be abridged. That is the term. I said that there are people who will accept that, but there are others who want to hear more about it. On Friday, I also said to those who may think that the rest of us have no business in what is happening in the Labour Party, that there are situations where these internal party matters can spill over. What more do you want me to say? I have listened to you, I have heard you, and that is it. I am going to determine how I raise the issues and, you know, how much latitude I give you. I've given you enough latitude to raise the point.
But you ain't giving me, let me finish what you want to say, eh?
Well, you got 2 minutes. You got two more minutes, and then I'm done with you. 2 minutes, and I'm finished with you. So come, let's start.
When I say the fourth estate, I mean the Ellis.
No, but you come on. What is the other point?
Wait, just a minute, Miss Ellis. You don't allow certain people to speak freely.
Alvin, go on and make the point, man.
Oh, let me get to VOB then.
No, we'll VOB now.
Just a minute. Let me get to the point, Miss Ellis.
Man, you just try to be mischievous.
They had a conference for 3 days. You remember that conference?
What's that?
Over the weekend, they had a conference for 3 days. The Democratic Labour Party conference was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right or wrong?
Yeah.
Right. When you started this program, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things I hear from 5 o'clock this morning was repeated for 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Did you give the Democratic Labour Party conference 10 minutes?
No.
Why?
And I'll tell you why. Because I would reserve the time that I have given to the Labour Party for a meeting last night. I would expect that when the Democratic Labour Party hold their meeting, that will be treated the same way. Let me make my point. I don't put the annual conference situation on all fours with the political meetings. I think that that's what would be expected of us. When they have their formal first meeting, we will do the same thing, and that's where the balance is affected.
Mr. Ellis, The Barbados Labour Party had a branch meeting, and you get them the same time too.
Pardon?
That didn't a conference, no, that didn't a big political. That was their branch meeting. Listen, what
it is a branch meeting in the context of the issues that are being raised in St. George North.
Let me finish there and move on. Mm-hmm. Let me move on there now. Let me finish there because you and I can get around that side.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people keep saying, and I ask you, Mr. Harris, to help the listeners. And I know that Mr. Ellis sitting down right there could do some press, take his finger, press so, and answer this question that I keep answering. And I saying this because it could not happen on the Democrat Labour Party. I know, and I believe you know, that all the debt that they said the DNP built up over the years, really, the foreign debt, you know it ain't true. You know nearly all that debt was built up by the Barbados Labour Party. I'm saying it now because this tax man will reply to it, and you ain't going there at all. So I got to say.
Well, you know, that was borne out by all the economic statistics and information that we've had.
Ellis,
so I don't
you
know
haven't
that.
Had, you haven't had, in the last 2 years, no experts on economics coming in a panel.
There ain't nobody, based on the information that we've had over the last 5-6 years, there ain't nobody that I could find who is credible who would agree with you that all the debt, the expansion in the debt.
Give them the figures that was said on your radio. Right. Tell the people of Barbados what the debt was on the 15th of January.
Let me get the specifics on that and come back to you, okay? We got to go. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. That wasn't a branch meeting, contrary to what Alvin is saying and what somebody else is saying here. This is the launch of the campaign for St. George North. It is not a branch meeting. So don't let Alvin mislead you into that. And where you want to hold our feet to the fire, it is when the DLP holds its first meeting, you would expect us to basically do the same thing, which is to highlight for you what are the issues in this particular campaign. The issue last night was Toni Moore's decision, what prompted her to change her mind. The issue last night that we portrayed was the one in which the Prime Minister said, why is it that people are saying that she should not have Toni Moore when so many other people have functioned in trade unions and have been associated with the political parties, and in particular, the Democratic Labour Party? I can only wait to see what will be the main response or the issues which have been advanced by the Democratic Labour Party. But, you know, this is an environment in which it isn't only the DLP and the BLP. You have Solutions Barbados, you have the UPP, and it really is, for us, a more challenging environment now, trying to give expression to all of these and trying to do so in a way that is fair and reasonable, okay? Because if we go, I'll leave it at that. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. How are you? 1-2, 1-2.
Well, sometimes that's
ones were, the lefts were rights and the rights were twos. 1-2, yes. 1-2, 1-2.
Sometimes you get them sore from the other side, too. Sometimes you get even
true.
4, 5, and 6.
But I don't, you know what? I don't run away from them at all. I encourage all such scenarios.
But I just can beg you don't run away now either.
Well, once you don't come to tell me how to run the program.
Well, I know that.
Once you come there, you know I'm gone.
If I have a suggestion to make, I will make it. Uh-huh. I can't tell you how to run the program.
Okay.
This is what you not to know, Mr. Ellis. As we speak right now, what is the murder rate in Barbados?
Well, I suspect we got about what?
Oh, you see the problem right
can't
there?
Can't remember the last numbers that we have because we had recent two recent murders. Isn't it about 40 or something like that by now?
But you see, that's the problem, you know. Normally, Mr. Ellis, every time we get another one, we just add it on and put the numbers out there so that we be counting, going on.
Uh-huh.
All of a sudden, that has been stopped, Mr. Ellis. But on Friday, I was listening to the program,
uh-huh,
and I heard a gentleman say to you, last year, we had 49 murders, and right now we are on track to break that record or at least equal it. And what did you say to him?
What?
So you know what you said to him? You
can't
don't
remember.
Call him anything?
Can't remember.
Well, then I said those same words to you, you called me an alarmist. So what, you didn't do it to him? Now you see who the cat like.
Let me say to you,
like,
when did you and I speak about this, that I called you an alarmist?
It is there on record.
No. The timing is important.
Oh, but you can.
Let me hear when it was that I told you so.
About 2-3 months ago.
Right. Immediately after that, we had a couple of killings here. I came here and I said that based upon the additional killings that we had, I basically agreed with the concern which was being raised that we were moving in a direction which would have been close to or equal to last year. I did not, I mean, you can listen to everything that I say. You wouldn't hear me every day and I won't hear you every day. But I must tell you that on reflection, after those murders, I conceded that what you were saying needed to be taken seriously.
So you took down the alarmist thing then, you mean?
Yes, because
well,
that was before the
that.
Additional murders.
I didn't know that. But also,
okay.
Mr. Ellis,
mm-hmm.
It still don't gel. Because remember, 12 in 49 and 24 in 6 is the same thing. So when I said that to you, we was averaging 4 per month. So you're still wrong, Mr. Ellis. A couple of months ago, it was only 6 months and we was up over 24.
Yeah, but I think let us both agree that this situation is not something that we can be comfortable with. I would say to you, it is very worrying.
Well, to me too, because I always, let's put it out there, I live here, I ain't going nowhere, I got 3 children, at least 3 grandchildren so far. So I real worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like you, before the program finish, give me the head count at this point in time. We can leave that there. Let me move on.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Ellis, how long since they had the cabinet reshuffle?
Just a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks. You hit the nail on the head again, Mr. Ellis. And when we were discussing who was thrown under the bus, Mr. Glenn Clark, in his wisdom, say that he is running in the next election. You was clear on that?
Well, he might have felt so then.
Mr. Ellis, you was clear that he said it?
Can't remember.
Well, he said it. If you want to polish it up, he said that he was running the next election. Lo and behold, before the cat licky years, he making a different move. Now, it leads me to think he either jumped, was push, or he losing it.
But he looks happy.
But he looked happy, yes. So
you don't think that's what matters more than anything else? Whether a man jumped or was pushed, you don't think that happiness is what counts?
But it is what sweetened the pot.
Ah.
I told you about the machinations. Remember there was machinations to get the Minister of Tourism, and now the machinations.
Do you understand that this is politics?
I have no
problem. You behave as though you're surprised.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised that this changed in this short couple of weeks, according to you. Anyhow, we can leave that there.
You know, they had a politician that I admired a lot for the gift of the gab. He came out of St. Lucia, called George Odlum. And George Odlum used to put it this way. In politics, there's many a slip between the cup and the lip. So when you're taking the cup up to your lip, there's many a slip between there. You can spill, you know, you can scald yourself, anything so, all right?
Anyhow, Mr. Ellis, you can leave that there too. Now, I heard when you do part of the program from the meeting that Miss Toni Morneau, she said that it pains her when people have to settle for a half of a loaf because they don't have the wherewithal to fight for a whole lot. You could recall that?
Yes.
Good.
He was talking about the plight of people out there.
Yes. Cool, Miss Ellis. Now, you could remember when the two unions in the with the previous administration, one was asking for 23 and the other one was asking for 18. In the end, one said he was happy with 4.5 and the next said she was always amendable to it. So you know how far 4.5 is from 18 or 23? 18.5, Mr. Ellis.
But you behave as though this is not something that is the subject of discussion and negotiation. And what you end up with has a lot to do with how people behave when they get together. So you can't, if you want to blame one side, you can. But in those circumstances, you have to be privy to what is happening on all sides in the discussion.
Mr. Ellis, in life, your morning word go add up to your evening word, Mr. Ellis.
That's yeah, but you can't go and reflect on negotiations and discussions that were taking place and then emerge and say, oh, this person has to be blamed when you are not privy to all that took place in the discussions.
Mr. Ellis, that don't change your morning word.
Yes, it is relevant.
That hurt you,
it is relevant.
Settling for less than a quarter should cause your death, Mr. Ellis.
I mean, you and I have discussions.
For less than a quarter.
You and I have discussions here from time to time. And I take positions and you take your own positions. And what we leave with is influenced by the tone and the exchange that we have. You can't sit down and say 2 years from now, X happened and in isolation of what was the kind of spirit and atmosphere that prevailed between the two of us when we were talking. The same thing we did in the negotiations with the government.
Mr. Ellis.
So don't make it seem so outrageous.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes, please.
If you had to settle for less than a quarter when you were not in their hip pocket, what would you settle for when you're in it, Mr. Ellis? That's all he's trying to show you. When all the pockets span the same parts, you can put your hand in any one. And all is yours. And if you had to settle for a quarter, you have been broken down till you half has hurt you, so you was way below her. What is going to happen now that you is wanting to hit pockets from the pants?
Well, the way that this has been expressed on the political platform is that because you are now in the more elevated position, if you get there, that is, you are on the ground floor of the discussion. You are within the executive of the Barbados Labour Party. And I suppose it means that you are able, from that position, to articulate the feelings of Labour very early so that the legislation is not drafted and you then see it, but that you can make your input before the legislation is drafted. Now, quite frankly, I don't believe that if a person is leading a trade union and the government is drafting legislation that impacts on the trade union movement, that the government would find itself in a position where it would draft the legislation and then send it to them, rather than say, look, let us be part and parcel. I want you to be part of this discussion. So that you don't necessarily have to be sitting on the National Executive Council of a party to be able to say to the government, I think this is what the trade union movement requires of you. To come to us at this stage of the game and to make this argument that you must be in parliament or you must be in the executive to be able to influence change in Barbados makes me wonder how much has really changed in this country.
Well, thank God, Mr. Ellis.
You know,
thank
I don't God, agree. I don't buy into that argument at all. And as I said at the beginning of the program, you know, the BLP and the DLP can have their row about who had trade unionists and who didn't. But I thought that the social partnership introduced a variable here that would make a difference. And it means that, where does that leave? If you say that of the trade union movement, tell me what are you saying to people in business then? What about the private sector who does not have an opportunity to sit in like that? All right? They are not in parliament. They are not in the executive. So they don't have a voice now? That, to me, it seems as though that's what you're saying. And you cannot, in my judgment, be talking about it that way today. You can say what you want to say, but that don't make sense to me.
Also, Mr. Ellis, you was also trying to put the 1991 demonstration with Sandy Marsham of Marsham Down on all fours with the recent demonstrations.
No, I put no, I didn't. I didn't.
Mr. Ellis, you
I put nothing on no all fours in recent demonstrations.
Leaders that, and the other side that had marches and things to against the government.
Yeah, but the point.
No, hold a minute.
The only point I was making at that time was that Sir Roy Troutman was among the Labour leaders leading those marches when he was a member of Parliament for the Democratic Labour Party. And I was making that point in the context of people talking about conflict of interest. So if you say that you're naturally faced with a conflict of interest, reconcile that situation then.
Mr. Ellis, but that is exactly what you were saying, you know. But somehow you're nervous and jittery and chomping at the bit. The marches organized by Trotty marched them up and marched them down was led by Trotty. The recent marches was led by the merchants and the union men and joined in. You remember the march was against the NSRL, not against Labour. It was against the NSRL and the merchants and the union men and joined in, Mr.
All right,
and
sir.
That is wicked and unjust.
All right. I got somebody here cussing me royally online. He says, so every dirty trick in politics to David Ellis now, the standard excuse to cover the shameful behavior of his BLP party. No, gee, what I can't win? I would have thought that today I raised issues that were basically not necessarily favorable to the Barbados Labour Party, issues that I think that they need to come to terms with as well. I mean, what do you people expect? You know, but this is politics. I have been through enough to tell you that no matter what position you take, there are people out there who filter it their own way, and these bees and these will find every possible reason to cuss somebody. So I have been through it. As a matter of fact, there are certain things that I don't even do anymore. I stay with certain chats, for instance, because I have concluded, and I've watched it over time, I find that there's an undercurrent of disrespect for people who are journalists, media people. Many times you see it among politicians, but it begins before that, before they become national figures and stuff. They're carrying that certain disrespect. The only people who can have a view is the person who is a lawyer, a doctor, a so-called professional at a different level. You are not supposed to have a view, and you are supposed to be, you know, berated and that sort of thing. And, you know, I grew accustomed to it. I take it from you all in a place like this when they come with that. But I ain't going to no chat and nobody treating me like that. I don't have to put up with that foolishness from anybody. But talk your talk. I my back broad in the context of where we are today. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Yes, welcome.
Okay. I want to ask you two questions. Just now I heard the gentleman, what's his name, Alvin?
Yes.
Talking about the BLP changing laws to get two senators.
Right.
Okay. I want to know when the BLP wanted a chief justice.
Wow.
What happened there?
Same
did
thing.
Did they change the auto?
Yes.
They did?
Yes.
Okay. The next thing I want to ask you about, every now and again, every day, most likely, I hear people talk about people getting killed, the attorney general wouldn't do this, and the attorney general wouldn't do the next. Two things I want to know. Does the attorney general bring guns? Do he call people and give them guns? Do he tell people, well, tonight I want you to kill four or six people?
No. But of course, the reason why that is happening is because of all that he said when the people were being killed, when the Dems were in office and somebody else was attorney general. The same thing that applied then applies now. That's where the criticism is there.
But you see, the thing about it is for all attorney generals are the same thing. No one attorney general don't buy guns and give to anybody.
So that's why you got to be careful when you're in opposition how you speak about crime in the country. Because, you know, there's so many variables that are helping to create the problem. But when you come and make it seem as though you got a magic wand, or you, just by doing a couple of things, you're going
to
reduce
crime.
That
happens to most of us.
Right.
Because there's only one thing that I would like about that. Is he giving guns to people to tell them kill people, or he himself going out?
Ma'am,
and
be, let's not be ridiculous on this. You know full
that's not what is being implied.
That is not what is being implied. What is being addressed here is the Attorney General has responsibility for trying to put things in place to minimize the extent to which the country is going through all of this. And basically, over time, many years now, attorneys general have been under fire from those who are shadowing that portfolio, because the political thing to do is to say the other person isn't doing a good enough job and they need to be fired or they need to resign, and your party is going to do a better job. And then when you get inside there, you can't do it, because it is not as simple as getting more policemen or having more judges. It is far more complex than that.
They can't really stop it.
They can't really stop it. Well, you know, there are places where there are countries where people have put measures in place. And remember New York, much bigger city, bigger place. And they in the 70s and early 80s, New York was a place nobody wanted to go. How did they manage to do it? What did they do? You know, it is not something that you can. Not every place puts their hands up in the air and say, "Well, I can't fix it."
But you see, we are a type of people who can't really tread on doing the things that New York do, because the same people that would be saying, "Well, do that." When they really get it started to be done, look out.
You know, the reason why we can't get it done is because we got too many conflicts of interest in the country. You know, we got too many situations where this one knows the next person and that sort of thing.
Right. Every person is a relative of each other.
Well, if not a relative, a friend, and that sort of thing, and as a result. And there's, at the core, the overall approach of Barbadians to many problems suggests to me that while we talk about it, we are afraid of the consequences of implementing the measures. So that, as a result, you take one step forward and two steps backward in trying to deal with the problem. You know, so that's where we are. Thank you very much. 1:55, one more call. And so many people still lined up, but somebody is going to be, this is like Lotto, somebody's going to be a winner here. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
You are the winner, yes, last call.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, hi.
To you and your listeners, I really admire the way that you handled the show today, because I think you were very fair.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I'm saying to you, I listen all the time, and I think you were very fair. I want to say that to you. But I think if the shoe, I can't speak for tall boy, but if the shoe was on the other side of the foot, I hear tall boy would say that this is Senator Tony Moore payday. He would not have, he would look at it, that when she asked for the 18% and she was settled quickly for the 4.5%, that the government.
No.
And then
you see.
No, I'm telling you, I'm saying, let me
that's how you put it.
And then he would ask the statute man to find out for the last 2 years how much Miss Moore saved the government from the what you would call the 13.5% that they hold back in the workers' pay. I'm willing to see if they have a labor minister, what she will be in there doing with a government having 29 persons in the House. Everything at their hand to do anything they feel like. Why would they want a trade union woman when they have so much people up there running that they can put a dollar in those people's pocket? Why a woman who is already settled in a place, why they would take her to stop another person from getting a couple of dollars to bring her in to serve what purpose?
I get the impression, the best person to answer that will be the Prime Minister. But I get the impression that the Prime Minister has been impressed by the representation that Ms. Moore has been able to make on behalf of the workers, and that some of the ideas that the government itself had. You remember when we had this thing here that they were talking, the Prime Minister herself was talking about this thing was like a, going to be a, like a meeting turn and that sort of thing?
Yeah, sure.
As the trade union movement, she said, was responsible for coming and making recommendations. They were not alone, the private sector too, but I got the impression that these encounters helped to create an environment where she is impressed by what Ms. Moore says. Now, this is, to me, a very interesting point, and it is when
Ms. Moore wasn't already in the IMF programs, seeing it work right. She wasn't had already put her in that area.
Well, she would have been involved in that through the social partnership, I'm sure. I have no doubt about that. And it is in that kind of forum that the relationship might have been forged, okay? But we got a lot more time to talk about this and related matters. We're going to keep in tune with this particular campaign and we do our very best to be as fair and as balanced as we can be in trying to make sure that you, the public, is kept well informed. For now, I want to thank you very much for participating in today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks, and my special thanks to John Stout, the technical operator and producer. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.